How are we all doing?
Good, Bob.
Excellent. I love it more than you can imagine when I have my perfect plans all set up and God intervenes. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, you are here already. We thank you, Lord. You are more than welcome in our midst. Would you speak to us through the word this morning? Would you teach us? Would you guide us into truth? Would you help me to explain, to preach, to teach, to talk, to be your trumpet, to be your oracle this morning, Lord God, that your word go out clearly. Quieten our hearts before you, Lord God. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord. Thank you for the weightiness of your presence, Lord. Amen. Amen. So this morning, every now and then, I think it's good for us just to go through a book in the Bible and preach a book through a book instead of just doing a topic. And so this morning we're going to start a new series, and we're going to study through the book of Galatians. Who wants to tell me what the title is?
Freedom! There we go.
Now I've got you on my side. You're with me. So I want to talk about freedom in Christ. And we're going to go through a number of subjects, but turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, please. And I hope I'm going to get through it this morning. You know, when we start a series, there's always a big introduction to get through and to paint the picture, as I'd like to say, and to understand how we're doing this and what is it that we want to go. I was sharing with the elders and I said, I want to preach the Galatians. And Chris immediately again, freedom! And I said, how do you know? He said, well, of course. That's what the book's about. And I want to help teach it, preach it, exegete it, whatever we need to help us live in this. And of course, a big thing is justification by faith and living in the freedom of not living under law, but living in grace. And so before I just lose the plot completely, let's have a look and see. Helps if I switch this on, isn't it? Talk to me. What happened now? Oh, there it is. Part one. Freed by grace. So we're going to start in Galatians chapter 1, but right now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians are not one of those nice, tidy books that you can just ding, 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 because Paul goes through it and he refers back and he goes forward and he refers back again. But I want our key text for this series to be this. Chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You hear that if you're pre-service prayer meeting, the words that came, the songs that came, everything that came this morning was helping lay a platform for me to preach this word, which excites me even more. And so we want to, but the King James Version, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath, we've got to have thus, hath made us free. And I want us to have a look, and so let's just delve a little bit into how this happened, what's this book about, and all that, just so we get a bit of context. So we hear that Paul, it all starts in Acts chapter 13. So let me just do this quickly. We see that Paul starts off in Antioch, and they're standing there at Acts chapter 13, and they're fasting and praying, and they say, lay hands on Paul and Barnabas, and let us send them out. And so they do that, and they head off, and they go to Salamis. They go to, look at this, look how clever I can be. I don't know, oh, there we go. Can you see that? Zip. Salamis, Paphos, up into Perga, I've been to Antioch, Pisidia, along Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. That's the red dot. Then the blue dot line is, whoop, go back home again. And that's why you've heard me so many times say, when we go out on our apostolic translocal trips, we come back and report back to the church. And if you go read towards the end of Acts chapter 14, you'll see they come back and they report everything that takes place. Now, just for some of you who might not know it, we think you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. That's not how the Bible works. The Bible works in the book of Acts is from AD 33 to about AD 90. And everything happens in between that time frame. And that's why I've done this little thing here to see, for you to see where it started in AD 30-33, and then when Paul's conversion, Paul's conversion down the bottom, stay with me. Next one. Paul's conversion down here, and then here Galatians is written between AD 49 and 50, just after his first missionary journey. And so he's visited these four churches, he's helped plant these four little churches in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And so they've had it there. But we need to have a look and see that these newly planted churches, and Paul went in and he said, I want to teach you about Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, and this gospel of grace, that we are saved by grace in faith, and that is it, and that's all we need to do, and we believe in Jesus Christ, and there's been a new covenant that's been cut, because these were all Gentiles he's talking, and they don't even know about all the old stuff that's going on, because they are Gentiles. They're not Jews, because Paul's journey here was to the Gentiles. And we have these four little churches that are going for, and then guess what happens? Some guys come along behind, and they call the Judaizers, and they say, no, Paul's an idiot. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. You can't just be a Christian like that. You can't just get saved like that, because you have to add. And their big thing for the guys, you have to be circumcised. You Gentiles, you grown up men, you Gentiles, you're now got to be circumcised. And they're going, and there's this whole debate that takes place. And they say, no, and you have to add this law, and you've got to add this regulation. And you're going, these were the Judaizers of the time. And what happens is this, it gets to them, and they realize this is taking place. And so let's just have a look and understand a few things before. Because the problem is that our heart is more deeper, Lord. More of you, more of you, Holy Spirit. More of your grace, Lord. More of this, more of this. And unfortunately, there are still Judaizers around today. They're still saying, no, it's not grace alone, it's grace plus. You have to do this, and plus you have to do that, and plus you have to do the other. And we have what I called here, it brings factions in the church. And it brings not mythologies, but my theologies into the church. And a different gospel. And as young church, they were being confused. And they were susceptible. And said, well, Paul said this, but you guys are saying this. Now we don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to get on. So let's start and just read. I'm going to read a chunky, a lengthy piece of scripture, because we want to get... We're not going to do this every week, but... Okay, Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. So Paul had a team with him, right? To the churches of Galatia. We could get really Star Wars and go Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished, writes Paul, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. Isn't that interesting? When we desert the message of grace, we desert the grace giver. The grace giver is Jesus, deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, by the way, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven. This is so powerful in their day and age, and to us sometimes we just read it glibly and go over it. If try and want to distort the God, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary as to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Wow. As we have said before, so now say again. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, among my own people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal to his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. So here's Paul is just, he's laying this letter down there, because now we get to Acts chapter 15. And in Acts 15, they have the stories of these guys doing it. And some of them say, no. We'll read a little bit about that. So Paul says, okay, let's go down to Jerusalem, where all the elders and the prophets are and the main guys. And let's go down there and let's sort this out. And hence we have what we call the Jerusalem Council. And they sit and they debate this at much length. I hope I'm not losing my notes along the way here, but it's in my head here. So and they debate this at much length. And then some are saying, no, we've got to do this, and we've got to do that. And Paul's, and they say, no, let me tell you what happened. And so they have it. And I just want to show you some of this stuff first. But first of all, Paul talks about three things right in the very first couple. He talks about his apostolic authority. He talks about being free from guilt. We are free from guilt. Christ has made us free from guilt. And there's got to be in godliness evidence in our lives. He says, because it didn't come from man. It came from Jesus Christ and the Father. And we're going to look at that a little bit more depth. And then Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So let's just have a look at, we don't turn there because just for time's sake, let's just have a look at what's the fuss all about. What is this fuss that's helping us here look it through? The fuss is Acts 15. It says, but some men came down from Judea. This is at the council. Some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved. You cannot be saved. Paul's saying, you don't understand. We were there with these guys, and they were so excited about the gospel. And then we have a look and we see, verse 5, but some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. You can go and read all the verses in between. I'm just taking out the highlight ones. And then they say, and Peter says, and God knows, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. They know different. They also got the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit. We have been saved by grace. They've been saved by grace. And then eventually, I think it's James says, but we believe that we will all be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ just as they will. And then after this, Council of Jerusalem, they sit down and they write a letter to the churches and they say, no, don't worry about the circumcision stuff and all these rules and regulations, but you just, there's one or two things we want you to abide by and go on and have a happy life. Okay? Grace is the only way that they were, and they drafted this letter, I'm just making sure. But we have to understand, this is a huge step. Can you imagine coming into our society now and saying the way that you go to work every day, or the way you catch a bus to work every day, or let's just get close to them, the way we play hockey is not the right way anymore. We've got to play it a different way. You can't use the stick this way, you've got to use it that way, and it's going to be shaped differently. And they're going, are you crazy? We're not doing that. So this is where they were stepping into. They were going in, they were saying, Rugby is now going to be played with a round ball. What? Soccer is going to be played with this oblong ball. In cricket, we'll give you a tennis ball. And baseball, we'll give you a tennis ball. What? I'm just trying to help us see the enormity of this thing, because I know when we talk about hockey here, we all get starry eyes. Shiny eyes, yeah. And the problem is here, what they're saying here is that, but I'm hoping by now we're all a little bit further down the road in understanding law and grace. And some of us might be what I call RLs, recovering legalists. Hi, my name is Mark. I'm a recovering legalist. Oh, thank you. Here we go. Where we still think, I have to do something. There's something I must do. Surely, if I perform better, if I raise my hands more, if I sing louder, if I wave the flags. I mean, I love the way the flags. I'll just share with my friends of ours came and saw us, and their church, they don't wave flags, and they were just sharing with someone else, and someone got a very smart sense of humor. They said, "No, when they wave the flags, what does it mean?" He said, "Well, it means, Holy Spirit, you're all cleared for landing." We know that he was cleared for landing a long time ago. But it's just a little bit of humor. And we say, well, if I do better, and it's like the donkey and carrot Christianity. As long as you've got the little carrot out there, the donkey's going to perform. And if we take and add to grace, it's like donkey Christianity. Just a little bit of a more carrot. Perform, jump higher, run faster, swim, climb the mountains, run through the valleys. And this is what we call performance-based faith, which is really legalism. We must learn to recognize what is legalism and what isn't. And I have a caution for us later on. But let's just move on a little bit and see, what is legalism defined? Is this thing working for me at the back here? Yeah. Okay. Number one, legalism defined is performing in my power. What I can make happen is how I make things happen. They were teaching these Gentiles, you can be Christians, but you've got to be Jews first. And when you're Jews, then you've got to get circumcised. And then you've got to add all the laws to this grace. And then you can be a good Christian. But unless you do that, then no, you can't do it. Not so much. Not helping. Because then we say, well, then when I'm performing, I'm taking my natural abilities, my actions, my whatever, and making it. And I could today, if I wanted to take it, I'd say, turn to Michael and say, Michael, this is going on too long. Holy Spirit's messing up my morning for me. I've got a long sermon to preach today. Please just get on and do the announcements. And if you know me, I can't wait to get up here and preach. And so I've just got to learn, bask in your glory, Lord. Bask in Holy Spirit, what you're doing. This is not my church, it's yours. You're building this thing. You're building truth into people's lives. You're helping us. We pray a prayer, and now we're saved. Then we get, now, what must I add to my faith? What must I add to Christianity? What must I do? And please don't hear what I'm not saying. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow. You see, some of you never went to Sunday school. You should go to Sunday school. And we need to read our Bible, pray every day. But if we miss a day, oh, I feel guilty now. Oh, I feel condemned. You're under legalism. Because now you're doing it as a performance thing. I'm doing it. Performing in my power. And don't be silly now. And some people have walked away having heard this truth and said, well, we don't have to do anything now. That's like, I just checked my brains at the door. That's idiotic, if I could be that blunt. We can't just do it. We have to, when we get into that kind of mode, then we've left grace behind. We got saved by grace in faith, and now we're trying to add and make this thing work. Okay, let me move on. Second thing, performing according to my rules. You know how good we are at making up rules? We don't even know we're that good at it. Oh, we are. We're so good at it. Well, why aren't they bouncing up 3 times? I bounce 4 times. They only bounce 3 times. I'm sorry, when I preached, the thoughts run through my head. I heard two guys, not in this country, in another country that I come from. And I was in this meeting and I was like, oh Lord, why am I here? Just shoot me. And the one guy was, I want to bind Satan. You know, we can't bind Satan, first of all. But we seem to think we can, and then we stick him in a corner. And then we come back the next week and we do it again because some idiot let him out. And like, because surely if we bound him, then he's bound. But anyway, I'm trying to preach short today. And so they're praying. He said, Lord, I bind Satan and I bind his works. And the other guy said, Lord, I bind Satan and I double bind him. And the other guy goes, Lord, and I bind Satan and I raise his bind to another bind. And I'm like, what? What am I doing here? Lord, show me the door. I want to get out of here. I'm frightened. We come and we want to add our rules. And we take the Old Testament, we want to add it to the New Testament, or take Old Covenant, we want to add it to New Covenant, and say, that's what we've got to do. That's how we've got to understand it. And as soon as we add something to the New Covenant, we enter the realm of legalism. Here's my caution. So we don't get sidetracked on this, because you will read in the Bible where Paul and Jesus say, I command you to do this and obey this. Ooh, that's legal. No, it's not. That's Christianity. When Paul and Jesus tell us to do something, we do it in obedience. That's not legalism. It's when we add something that is not of Scripture that we see and we want to add it to make ourselves better because we're doing it in our power. We're according to my rules. Because we want to be a people, well, we are a people of the Word and the Spirit. And it's not, well, we need to have balance, you know. We're chatting with the elders on Friday. We don't want to balance. We've got to go 50% Word and 50% Spirit. No. We are 100% Word and 100% Spirit. Yes. Right. Just so when I say these things, you go, okay, where's the balance? We don't want balance. We want to be over the top, in the Word, over the top, in love with Jesus, and Holy Spirit having His way. Thank you. Last one on this thing is performing to earn God's favor. How do we perform? This is the heart of legalism. When we feel we have to perform, the lifebeat that draws us into legalism is performance. The Judaizers were teaching more rules, more regulations, more traditions. Well, if I keep this and I have more favor and the more blessing I will receive from God if I do all this. When he says, I've done it all, I've given it all to you, I gave my son to you, he is the fullness of the Father given to us. What more do we want? What more can we get? We can't get anything more. Are you with me? Or am I with you? Because when we say that, the more I perform, then I'm in big credit with God, so when I mess up, my credit's still good. That's faulty thinking. It's not helpful. Because when we believe in the more I do, the converse has also got to be true. Which is, the less I do, the less God's going to love me. God loves us all the same. He cannot love you more. When I have $100 and I give Kevin $100 and he says, how much money have you got left? I said, nothing. My bank account is empty. I don't have 1 cent. Not even the little tray in my car. It's got no money in it. You have everything. He says, well, what else can I get for you? I said, I just told you nothing. I've given you. And God has given us 100% already. And it's a bad mentality for us to keep thinking, I can get more. And I know we pray for more, but more of what is it? Because when the Holy Spirit is here, when you walk in the room, He's here. You know, people will tell you, well, the Spirit of God is left. No, that's stupidity. You don't understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Because otherwise, the Holy Spirit's left you, which means then you are now regenerated or unregenerated. You're a sinner. You do not have the Spirit of God living in you. Sometimes you just got to think about some of this stuff and go, yeah, no, that doesn't sound right. I trust this Galatians series for freedom will sound right to you. Performing to earn God's favor. The more we grasp hold of and understand it. Remember, religion is, I preached it in some other series, religion is do, 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 do. I'm going to say that carefully. Do, Grace is done. It's all done. And I just got to learn to walk in that. And that's why we see right up in the beginning, it says that, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil. And we sometimes don't get that we've been delivered from this present evil. And we're still living, and you've heard me say it so many times, we still live with sin consciousness instead of a righteousness consciousness. And when we say, like Kevin did this morning, who of you understand what living in bondage is? We should all go like this. Not ashamed of the gospel. I was in bondage. Of course I was. Who knows, understand what the shackles of sin are like? Yeah, I do. But now I live in the freedom and the righteousness. And it's the same when I say, who is holy here today? There should not be a doubt in your mind. You should go, yes, I'm holy. So I'm asking, who's holy here today? Some of you are still doubting. I'm just being honest. I'm trying to help you. That's my job, to help. Oh, the legalist is the one who's bent on performance. And when you're going, no, I'm under grace and full of grace, the little legalist, the recovering legalist inside of us is standing up and going, there must be something I'm supposed to do so God will love me more. Someone said this morning, don't lie, listen to the lies of the enemy. That is the enemy. That's not God. That's not even you. That's the lies of the enemy telling you, you're not worthy. You're not enough. You haven't done enough. You haven't got too much power. You haven't listened to the rules that you made up, and you're trying to earn God's favor. I might be shouting a little bit. I'm not shouting at you. I'm excited. I raise my voice a little when I'm excited. I'm mad when I just go silent. Performance behavior stems from way back because we are taught at school. I don't know, I was. You have to be number one. Who remembers what came number two in the Olympics? Who came first in the 100 meters men? Oh, see, you know. Who got the silver medal? Some guy. Who got the bronze medal? The guy who came third. Because we're at school, you have to get good marks. You have to be number one. Be number one. So when we come along and we say, it's not so much about being number one, it's understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Because when you all get that, I'm breaking this to you. When you get that, you are number one in His sight. When we want to perform though, performance. My dad didn't love me enough, I didn't think so. So what did I do? I performed for his affections. My mom didn't love me enough because I thought so. Because I performed for her affections. Dr. Phil says, you cannot change what you will not acknowledge. And we acknowledge in our hearts, yeah, no, that was a little bit like me. I'm a little bit like that. I know. I came out of school and I went into business and they told me, you're not going to be very good at this thing. And I said, watch me in my eyes. I'm going to show you a thing or two. I was driven. Driven. Satan drives, Jesus leads. Driven to prove them wrong. You don't know who I am. And I proved them wrong. Did me a fat lot of good because here I am in Canada preaching the gospel. Corporate ladder. Well, that's nice. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Father God, come to you this morning, Lord God, and I ask that you would speak into the lives of your children here today, into my life, Lord God, that you would free me from being performance driven, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would heal the broken parts of my heart. You would heal what is broken in me, that I feel the need to perform. God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come, Holy Spirit, affect a change in my life, affect in me the fullness, the acceptance of your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you for your grace upon my life. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing for me. Thank you, Lord God, for the power within me. Holy Spirit, that you will lead me and guide me into all truth, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to get anywhere near finished today, so I'm just going to have a look and see what we're going to do. So what does Paul say? So let's just have a look at what Paul says. Remember, it's not my power, it's not according to my rules, and I'm unable to earn God's favor. Are you saying I don't have God's favor? No, you do. We have God's favor. That's the blessing, the favor, the unmerited favor of grace. We already have everything we have. He loves you unconditionally. I messed up yesterday. He knows. He didn't, like, ooh, there was a blip on his radar. He didn't miss that. He knows that. Well, did he love me any less for that? No. You mean he loves me the same? Yes. How much love can he pour out of me? More than you can handle. How much does he love the way I live my life? You decide. Let's just go and read one or two verses, then I'm going to close and we'll carry on this week next week. Galatians 1:7-8. But there are some who trouble you and want to destroy, distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach it to you, a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Paul's saying here, I only preach one gospel. I preach the right gospel because remember, I didn't get it from man. It wasn't through man. It wasn't by man. It wasn't of man. It was through a revelation of Jesus Christ who came into my heart. And you can read further. Please read the book of Galatians over the next week, couple of weeks. And you'll see that what actually happened, Paul goes away. He goes away for 3 years. And then he goes and comes back and says, hi, am I doing, what am I happening? And he goes away for another 14 years. Well, I want to preach the gospel and I'm going to do it tomorrow. No, we've got like a 17, 18 year prep time for Paul. Jesus prepared for 30 years. Not 3 years or 3 months. 30 years. Paul is emphatically stating from the lowest to the highest, wherever way you want to take it, it's the message of grace. I cannot stand on it. And we go to Galatians 6 verse 14 and he says, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Wow. I don't care what's going on there. I don't even know what's going on there. This is where I'm focused. I want to boast in the cross. I want to understand the cross. If you go back and listen to some of the sermons we preached on what's so amazing about grace, it'll help you. The first three or four at least show us what the foundation of grace is. The work of the cross, the foundation of righteousness, and the person of Jesus Christ. That's it. When we get hold of that and understand that, then we go, yeah, I'm on the right path. I'm doing well here. So I'm going to close today. I want us to go home and think about that. Next week we're going to win. So we just looked at legalism defined, and next week we're going to look at legalism destroyed, and how grace helps us, and how freeing it is, and how freedom comes, and understand we are freed by grace. Because I could alternatively preach for another half an hour, and the brain can only bear what the blessed assurance can, and. I know some of you got that. Something like, what? So, we'll finish off what we did today. We'll just do a recap and then we'll finish off next week for today. I'm sorry to do this, but it's important for us, because alternatively I could just say, okay, well, just figure out the rest yourself. That wouldn't be helpful. So, Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace, Lord God, and Lord God, we stand against the lies of the enemy that will come and try and teach us it's about us and about our power. Come and teach us about it's according to my rules, and more so that it's how I need to earn God's favor when Jesus has earned it all for us. God's favor, let me just close with this. God's favor, God's pleasure, and God's blessing on me is not based on my performance for Him. But God's favor, God's blessing, and God's pleasure on me is based on what Jesus did for me at the cross. Because alternatively, the Judaizers, as we are saying, when Jesus shouted on the cross, "It is finished," the Judaizers were saying, "Not so fast, Jesus. It's not finished. We have to add something to this. We have to go back into the rules and regulations." And Jesus was saying, "It's finished. It's done." Father, bless us today as we walk from here, living in your grace, living in the true life that is truly life that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.